Christ is risen.
Truly he is risen.
Christos voskrese. I think a rule of preaching should be never give up an opportunity, never lose an opportunity to talk about the fifth resurrectional gospel, one of the most incredible pieces of writing in the scriptures, one of my favorites. It is read today because we have 11 resurrectional gospels, but we don't have 11 weeks of time of Pascha. We want to get them all read before Ascension. So you've got several weeks to read the first, the second, the third, the fourth, but then you've got to intersperse some of the other ones in. St. Thomas's gospel, the one about him saying, "My Lord and my God," that's the ninth gospel that'll be read this Sunday. Then we're reading Luke, that's another one that is added in. And then some of the other ones get added in. So you read all 11 during that period of time, because of course they're about the resurrection. But when I read these gospels, and I try to tell my flock to do this too, because I think it's really important, the gospel especially, more than any of the other scriptures, has been written to show us the way of life. Because it shows us the God-man Jesus Christ. Other readings, such as the epistles and the Psalms, they're about him and they describe him. But the Gospels are him. They're his words and his actions. So we learn how to be a true human being by watching him. That's one thing. But the other thing is, the Gospels teach us about human nature and about how human nature slowly and surely, if we have faith, becomes like God. But it's a process that happens with many fits and starts. And so we see unbelief in the Gospels. Even among believers, we see unbelief. Like Peter, when he denied the Lord, it was a moment of unbelief and cowardice. Thomas, when he said, "I'm not going to believe," we call his unbelief his believing disbelief. We have these moments too, when we don't believe. And we see that in this gospel. It speaks very powerfully that God reaches us where we're at in our human nature, our weak human nature, unable to believe miracles sometimes. And so, on the day of the resurrection, Luke, who's written the gospel and does not describe that he's the one that is with the two disciples, but he was one of them. And it has to be because it was such a personal account, first-person account. They're walking to Emmaus, about a Sabbath's day journey, a long journey, and the Lord comes near to them. And of course, they're conversing about what happened. That's all that was important to them. And it says their eyes were holden so as not to recognize our Lord. Now I believe with all my heart, the Lord did nothing to their eyes. They, because of their sorrow and their grief and their unbelief, it wasn't part of their world that the Lord would be walking among them, because he had been crucified. He had had a sword thrust through his side. Blood and water had come out. He'd been put in the grave. And so it didn't occur to them that he would be walking among them. Their eyes were holden. They couldn't see him as who he was. And that happens to us. Even though we're believers, there's a particular thing that my wife says she believes will happen, and perfectly honestly, I don't believe it. I don't disbelieve it, but I have no confidence that it will happen. That's because my eyes are holden on this particular thing. You can't just believe by saying, "Okay, snap my fingers, I believe now." That's not the way it works. We believe when the grace of God so fills us that the light shines the truth. But the light is not completely shining in me or in you. We're a composite of good and bad, of dark and light, of belief and disbelief. And so we all have that road that we're walking down to Emmaus, and there are things that we don't believe. Let's be honest about it. Let's try not to kid ourselves. It's really dumb to kid ourselves, to lie to ourselves. We have weak faith on some things. Perhaps strong faith on many things, but weak faith on some things. I think it's a rare person who doesn't have weak faith in some area. And so we're like the apostles, Luke and Cleopas. And they are looking right at the Lord, but they don't see him as who he is. They believe everything about him, but they don't see him as who he is. This gives me great comfort, because they were great apostles. And they did great things. Luke wrote the gospel and the Acts. And yet, they were men who saw the Lord crucified and just didn't believe that he could be resurrected. Probably their unbelief was partial, because they knew the book. So they knew that it was prophesied that he would. But it was just an incredible thing. So they didn't quite believe it. Not 100%. That's what happens to us. Now, as they're walking down the road, of course, he is expounding from them the scriptures. This is important because everything about the Lord Jesus Christ was prophesied, especially in the Psalms, but also in all of the prophets and Moses. And we look to the Bible to teach us about Christ. Not everything. You learn a lot about Christ by living a life and having the Holy Spirit enlighten you concerning Christ. And by the prayers of the church and by the active Christian living teaches us about Christ. But the things that are written down about Christ in the scriptures are very important for us to know. So we should be people of the book. We should know the book. Another thing to note about this gospel that always absolutely just knocks me down every time. He goes like he's going to go on. They say, stay with us. They begin to eat. He breaks bread. And of course, this is the Eucharist, sign of the Eucharist. And they see him as he is. The Eucharist teaches us to see him who he is. And then they say something that I pray happens to each one of you. As a pastor, I pray for this all the time. Wasn't our heart burning within us when he spoke to us on the way and he opened up unto us the scriptures? See, they were not quite 100% believers, but their heart was burning. Does your heart burn? I hope it does. It did better. You have to have a heart that burns, even though you're not so good at some things. Maybe you're not so good at this virtue or that, or maybe you don't believe something is going to happen in your life that you should believe. But your heart has to burn. You have to cultivate that feeling. It's very important. If your heart burns, you'll be saved. Absolutely. Because a heart that burns will attract the divine fire, the Holy Spirit. And he will warm us, because our heart burning doesn't warm us that much. But when the Lord adds fire to fire, then we are warmed. And then we are enlightened. To cultivate this feeling of your heart burning, you have to desire the next life, You have to look at this life and see that everything's dead. And you have to learn what is dead and what's alive. And then when you see dead in you, you have to have a heart that burns and says, I don't want that dead in me. And if your heart burns for that reason, God certainly will visit your heart. And He will burn out the dead and replace it with life. Pascha is sometimes a time when we see people that come that don't appear to have hearts that are burning. They come at the very end of the service or even an hour after the service is done just to have their kulich blessed. I don't know what happens to those people. If I get their names, I pray for them. But we should not be like that. We're sinners, yes. Or even unbelievers about some things. But we must be people that have a heart that burns. Do you know why their heart burned? Because the Lord was with them. And there was something in their heart that recognized Him. Now their soul was so wounded that it couldn't completely recognize them. But that burning was present. And they, in hindsight, understood what the burning meant. So now we have their experience as a help to us. So when your heart burns, it's telling you something. You might not understand it, but it's telling you something important. I tell people all the time when they say, well, how do you know to do this or this thing or that thing, what's right or what's wrong? Sometimes it's hard to know what's a sin. And to be honest with you, with rare exceptions, the vast majority of the time it's quite easy to know if something's a sin. If your heart burns, it's a sin. Of course, your heart can burn when some things are good, too. There's two kinds of burning. But when your heart feels a certain way, then you know it's wrong. I've described it before as your heart feels smaller, or your heart feels colder, or your heart feels constrained in some way, or dark. You could also say if your heart feels like it's burning, it's telling you something's wrong. If you learn to listen to your heart, then that will save you from many sins. You have to cultivate that feeling. It's a feeling that, and it's not a feeling in terms of a human emotion. What it is the Holy Spirit and your conscience and your guardian angel speaking to you. Now, their language is not one we completely understand, but we get the gist of what they're saying. And as we progress in the spiritual life, we'll understand more of that language. So cultivate this feeling, because we're all like Luke and Cleopas. We all have things that are just too big for us. And that maybe we don't even believe. Of course, you know, I don't want my words taken out of context. A Christian believes in the Holy Trinity, in the virgin birth, in the dual nature of Christ, the unmixed natures of human and divine in one person. I'm not talking about that kind of unbelief. I'm talking about that unbelief which manifests itself as cynicism, or as negative thoughts, or as this sort of languid feeling that we get. Or this kind of feeling of what's the use. I had to battle with it some time ago when a good friend of mine killed himself. And I had that unbelief in my heart. I don't believe or disbelieve anything about what his condition is. I pray for him. But there was a feeling of, just a sense of, what was the purpose of all the late nights and all the prayers and all the counsel that was not taken. That's one of my roads to Emmaus. And I can't quite completely get rid of it. But my heart burns because of him. And so when my heart burns, I pray for him. Right in the middle of the Paschal Liturgy, I was praying for him. Because my heart was burning. I had to do it. That's what I'm talking about. Things in your life that just won't quite go away. Kind of just stick with you like a bad penny. So we see the result when there's believing unbelievers who are on the road with the Lord that can't see him as he is, but their heart burns. We see the result. He revealed himself to them, and they saw him as he was and as he is. That's going to happen to us too. That's why I believe this gospel was written and preserved. There were certainly many other occurrences in the life of Christ that occurred that have not been written down. But this was because it teaches us about how to approach our unbelief. It's not a contradiction to say that a Christian has unbelief. We have darkness in us, therefore there's unbelief. So we must be like the apostles, Luke and Cleopas. Walk along that road and just feel our heart burning and wonder, what does this mean? The Lord is telling me something. What is it? He's going to reveal it to me. I just don't know when. And if you live your life like that, then you'll certainly be saved. Christ is risen. Yeah.